silence is my self-defense.
And every time so it goes, and so it goes, and so will you soon, I suppose.
But if my silence made you leave, then that would be my worst mistake. So
this is why my eyes are closed. It's just as well for all I've seen. And so it goes, and so it goes. And you're the only one who knows.
So I would choose to be with you, as if the choice were mine to make. But you can make decisions strong, and you can have this heart to break.
Church. I had a chance to hear our middle church choir sing that stunning introit in the first worship celebration, and somehow thought that would make me immune to crying. Not so much. Just beautiful. Just beautiful. Thank you so much. You are here at the second inaugural, can it still be inaugural? Second worship celebration, as we've just changed our schedule. So I want to welcome you. I'm so glad you came today. I have two new friends who came from Westchester County. I met them on Friday. And to all of you who are here for the very first time, we are just delighted that you would take a moment to come be with us. So bienvenue to our friends from France. Anybody else here from exotic lands besides like Queens and the Bronx? Where might you be from? Where are you from? From France. Bienvenue. Where are you from?
Belgium.
Oh, welcome. So glad. Fantastic. Yes, where are you from?
Alaska.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Will you raise your hands? Is anybody else from exotic places besides Brooklyn? Anybody? Okay. New Jersey? Okay. So raise your hands because our ushers would just love to put a card in your hand so you can be in touch with us. We'd love to have that opportunity. Also, there's a card, a booklet on the end of every pew. It's our new way of gathering your data. We are not, I repeat, not going to sell your information to Google, but we would just like to be able to kind of take attendance, see who's here, who's not here, so we can reach out if we're missing. We're experimenting, so if you'll write your name and email and then just pass it, that's north and that's south, even across the aisle, okay? And if you leave them on the end of the pews, the ushers will grab them after worship. So that'd be awesome if you'll do that. Let me tell you a couple of things that are happening. First of all, big ups to you, Middle Church, because you did pick a worship to come to, and you decided to come early and late, and we literally split the worship in half. And that's awesome because that means there's room for more people. So feel free to please bring friends who need to know the power of revolutionary love. We'd love to have you bring some visitors. Most of the programming that we're trying to do to connect ourselves is happening in the middle. So you can come early and have brunch. You can come to adult education and listen to beautiful Bible studies. You can even work on Butterfly, do some volunteering. And after worship, there'll be special things. So today, after this worship celebration, Veronica Carrera, who just had a birthday, she turned 22, Veronica will be teaching a class called Money Talks. And so look in the bulletin and find out where that is and come. Veronica's going to help us this year to think about how to use our money well and how to be more sophisticated so we can be good stewards of those resources. There's a new program called New Adventures. This is for people who have had some adventures and are ready for new ones. So maybe some of our older members will be meeting with Rob on Thursday night at 2, on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Come and be with Rob in the parlor for tea and munchies and planning about how you will go and make some beautiful things happen. There's more to say. It's in the bulletin, but do, after worship, come to the social hall if you're brand new. Have some coffee. Learn about how you can join our movement. We'd be delighted to have you. Gloria, welcome home. Glad to see you. Gloria works for FEMA and is out there healing the world. Thanks. Our new interns are starting, are on board. I don't know if I can see. Amma and Gloria, just stand up. These are interns. Woo! And the Reverend Michael Piazza is here, our new COO and executive minister. So delighted he's on our team. All right. I'm going to say slower because people are asking questions. Michael is our chief operating officer and executive minister. I am still the senior minister. I am his boss. And he's going to be doing a bunch of wonderful operation stuff so I can do more public theology. Is that helpful? Yes. Last week, y'all were like, are you leaving? I am not. Okay. Yeah. All right. So now a breath. And let's continue to worship God.
Set on freedom. let us pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks this day for this glorious day. We give you thanks for all of your good gifts. And as we gather in this place with our hearts filled with joy and gratitude, we pray that your Spirit's presence will move within us and transform us. Plant in us your presence with such power that we might awaken to the possibilities of how you might use us to make life better and how you might work within us to make us better. Come, Holy Spirit, and make that a reality, awakening us to your presence in our world. In your many names we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, choir. If you are young or young at heart, you're invited up to the stage for a message for all ages. Blanche is here. Teddy might join us. He's welcome to. If we have friends in the balcony, they're welcome to make their way down. Oh, quite an entrance. Here we go. Hi, Teddy. I'm glad you're joining us. Come on up. Okay, Brooks is making his way too from the balcony. I love it. I want to know, what did you guys notice this morning when you woke up? What did you notice when you woke up this morning, Blanche? Oh, you notice horns honking. Yes, I noticed that too. And we even talked about it a little bit this morning. So when you're asleep, you don't really notice maybe the traffic. You don't notice the horns honking. But when you wake up, you notice things, right? That was really cool maneuver right there. We're good. Mom is with our friend Teddy. So, when Teddy's asleep, when Brooks is asleep, when Blanche is asleep, when you guys have your eyes closed, maybe you're in your bed, you don't know what's going on. But when you wake up in the morning, you're like aware of new things. You're aware, oh, there's traffic, there's cars, there's horns honking, like Blanche said. So there's something about waking up that we suddenly become aware of things in our world. Like when you wake up, Teddy, in the morning, you're ready to play, you're ready to go, you've got your red car with you. But we notice things differently when we wake up. So there's another word for waking up, and that word is similar to waking up, but it's called being woke. Can you say that for me, Brooks and Blanche? Being woke. Say woke for me. Woke. So it's the same idea that when you wake up in the morning, you're noticing new things. When you're woke, you're noticing what's actually happening in our world, what some of the problems are in our world. And I hear all the time from people, they say, middle kids, kids at middle, they are so woke. Zemi, you can even join me up here too, my friend. I just saw a new friend come. They say, middle kids, they are so woke. They know what's happening in the world. They know that there are sometimes problems and issues. They aren't asleep. They have woken up to what's going on. I love it. Thank you for joining us. So, Zemi, you might be able to be an extra leader up here since you're older. What are some of the problems or issues you see in the world? People polluting the ocean. Our young people care about what is happening with the climate. In the 9:30 worship celebration, we had young people talking about hurricanes and what's going on because of climate change. People are polluting the ocean. Maybe if you went to the beach this summer, you're like, what is going on? Why is there oil spills or why is there trash floating? So that is one problem happening in the world. These kids know what's going on. So how could you respond to pollution or trash on the beach or at the ocean? What could you do to help? Take it out and throw it in the garbage. Maybe we'll have like a beach cleanup day or something with kids leading the way. Like if you see paper on the water or the shore, you could throw that in the garbage too. Put the garbage where it goes, put the recycling where it goes, not in our waters, not on our beaches. I like it. So there's problems that are big like that with climate change, with global warming, with pollution, like you pointed out. There's also problems you might have in your school. There might be someone who's being bullied or picked on. And there's ways to respond to those problems as well. And when you notice the problem, when you're aware and you want to be a part of the change to help the situation, that is being woke, okay? So I want you to stay woke. Miss Jackie in her sermon today is going to even talk more about staying woke, how we respond to problems, to issues. And kids do that too. We're not just waiting on the grown-ups to respond. We're responding right now, no matter what your age is. Cool? Okay, I think that was a cool. So we are responding with love to all different situations. Let's pray right now, thinking of how we are gonna stay awake. We don't just have our eyes closed to the situations in the world, we are woke to them. Thanks for grabbing a hand. Brooks and Blanche, you can link up here. Let's pray. Dear God, we see a lot of pain and problems. But we want to be a part of the change. We want to respond with love. Help us stay woke. Amen. Middle kids, y'all are woke. Grown-ups are woke. Let's sing Sia Humba as we return to our grown-ups.
A shout out to our middle church choir. I didn't even finish telling you how amazing they are. They kind of show up on Sunday mornings with music to read for like about an hour, and they put it together with such beautifulness and poise and grace, and Tammy does such a great job conducting, so just shout out. Shouting out. Because there's lots of ways to pray. You know, and this is a special time when we say we're going to pray, but the praying starts when Sniffy, who is stunningly gifted, when she starts playing those preludes for us, we're praying already. You know, when the greeters greet you, we're praying already. When the kids are on the stage, we're praying already. So let's keep praying, asking God to really fill our hearts with whatever it is we need to be more fully and completely the people of God. And today, Wanda Lewis and I, no, my sister is not feeling that great, so Madge is beautifully being Wanda Lewis and my spiritual sister. And singing this song, Paul's letter to the church at Rome is all about what happens after Spirit comes. So this is a prayer about Spirit. So pray with us. Show me your softness. Comfort me through all this madness. Spirit, don't you know with you I'm born again?
Come, give me. Now there's you, there is no weakness. Lying safe within your arms, I'm born again.
I was half, not whole, in step with none.
Reaching through this world.
Show me your kindness. In your arms I know I'll find this. Spirit, don't you know with you I'm born again?
Lying safe with you I'm born
again.
Come give me your sweetness. Now there's you, there is no weakness. Lying safe within your arms, I'm born
Spirit,
again.
Don't you know you I'm born again?
I was half not whole, instead with none, reaching through this world.
Thank you, Madge. Thank you, Sniffy. Thank you, God. Let's continue to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Pray it the way you know it. Pray in your own language, or pray the inclusive one that's in the bulletin. And if you'll stand and grab a hand, that would be so great. Let us pray. Ever loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. Your reign come, your will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. As that music washes over and continues to reverberate, let's greet our neighbors in peace, and especially the new folks who are here. Say bienvenue. I don't know what they say in Belgium, but say that. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, middle family. The scripture reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, and the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's Pam's birthday. Thank you for reading.
Good job.
And Veronica had a birthday. Happy birthday. Any other birthdays in September? Kaede's birthday. Happy birthday, Kaede.
Wesley's birthday. Happy birthday, Wesley.
And Deirdre's birthday. Happy birthday, Deirdre.
It's our wedding anniversary.
Well, all right then. Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Okay, happy birthday, Lord. Look what I started. Happy birthday, everyone. So glad you're here. Will you pray with me? God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I ask that as we listen for a word from you, that I will be a vessel and the words of my mouth will be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So this is a fantastic text from Paul. Who can be problematic? A fantastic text from Paul following a particularly problematic text from Paul. The first part of Romans, if you go digging around in there, in that 13th chapter, the first few verses, Paul is telling them, and therefore us, to obey the authorities. That's why you pay your taxes. He says this really beautiful thing about how the authorities are in authority because God put them authority, and resisting them is sort of resisting God's plan. I don't like that at all. It is often a text that's used to squelch resistance. It's often a text to use to keep people in line, keep them minding their own business. Now, you know how I feel about minding our own business. You know how I feel about not resisting. We have to resist, right? So I didn't ask Pam to read that first part so I could save that for another time and really kick it in the teeth. I mean, really wrestle with it. We don't have to agree with all of the things that are in the Bible to be Christian. I know, Mark, what? The Bible is a book that is script for our lives, that is written by people like us, just like us. Michael would have been writing that Bible if he was in Paul's time. People just like us, inspired by God's extraordinarily Holy Spirit, trying to wrestle with theology. Amen? So when I read it, I don't have to click my heels three times and say I agree with everything in it. I just have to wrestle with it and find out what its meaning is for me.
So with that in mind, I'm going to go past that problematic, crazy text and go to this beautiful text where Paul is continuing to talk about what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit brings us the ability to really fully love each other. He's teaching us about what it means to be the community of faith, the people of God, the beloved community, and what love looks like. So I'm coming down there now. I'm going to tell you that not only don't I agree with Paul, I don't love what my big fat commentary said about this text. So I'm throwing it over here. And what does it mean to really love each other? In the context of anger and disappointment and rage and unbelievable grief, which is what I feel right now about the state of our nation. Am I by myself? Not only that, because we're global citizens and we see everything that happens all over the world, I don't know about you, but there are days when I wake up feeling this heavy cloud, like a low-level depression. I don't do depression, but I have a low-level kind of malaise and sadness because I feel powerless and overwhelmed by all of the stuff. All of the stuff. Are we in the peace? Are we in the climate agreement? Or are we out of the climate agreement? Are we building a wall? Are we testing building the wall? Are we charging the ball to the Mexicans? Why are we so preoccupied with the Mexicans? What, are we going to put the trans people out of the military? What's wrong with the trans people being in the military? What about women? What about children? What about healthcare? What about DACA? Holy cow. There's so much to be sad about, so much to be worried about, so much to be just depressed about. When I started this sermon writing for the week, I thought I was going to tell you the things that are in the middle of the bulletin. What do you need to wake up to in terms of justice? And find a project on the website to do. But I think my question today is a little more interpersonal, a little more personal, a little more private. How do we wake up to love? What does it mean to be woke in our interpersonal relationships? Now, I gotta tell you, I don't know, it might be obvious. I'm a teeny tiny bit burnt out from all of the organizing we've done this year. Teeny bit tired because I worked all summer. I took a week off. But mostly, I'm tired from the fighting. I'm wiped out from the violence. I'm wiped out that we haven't learned from our mistakes. Some buttheads turn planes into bombs. And they set the World Trade Center on fire, and they set the world on fire, which was, by the way, their intent. So now, people who look Muslim, Sikh people, and they do say Sikh, not Sikh, Sikhs, misunderstood, misidentified as Muslims, are terrorized in our country for looking wrong. 16 years ago, Barbil Uncle was killed in his own gas station parking lot because he looked Muslim. Muslims go home, women's arms set on fire in shopping centers, and that's just one piece of it. Antisemitism's on the rise. White supremacy, which we thought was about to die, has had a rebirth, like the rebirth of the ugly nation. And I'm exhausted. And when I'm exhausted, I make mistakes. So I'm asking myself, what does it mean to wake up to be an activist whose heart is full of revolutionary love? Paul says in this text, with which I don't have a problem, we know what time it is. You know how Jesse Jackson used to say, what time is it? It's nation time. Some of you don't even know who Jesse Jackson is. Who is Jesse Jackson? What time is it? When Paul asks that, when he tells us we know what time it is, the word there in the Greek is not chronos, it's kairos. He's saying, you know what time it is. You know what kairos it is. And the kairos time isn't the chronological January, February, March time. The kairos time is the God breaking in time. You know what time it is. Paul is alluding to us living between the now and the not yet, the what we are praying for and the thing as it really is. He's asking us, how do we live with love in this in-between time, in the meantime, in-between time? How do we live with love? And, you know, I'm an extrovert, so often I'm out here thinking about how to live with love. But honestly, guys, right in my heart, my broken heart, my troubled, broken heart, what do I need to wake up to? I was at a thing with Richard Rohr a couple weeks ago in the mountains with John. Me too. And he's very cute in person. Father Richard Rohr is just cuddly, smart, 75-year-old Catholic priest who is really trying to help young activists think about how to be spiritual as they do their work. What does spiritual activism look like? In other words, he's trying to wake it up in them a spiritual underpinning for the work that they do. So there were 60 young people, and then there were 5 elders, and me and John were 2 of the 5 elders, because I'm now an elder, I've discovered, at 58. And so one of the young leaders actually is a member of our church, Lindsay Branham, called me and John and said, there's so much going on with Charlottesville, so much craziness going on. Can you help us talk about race, right? So we did. We had a spontaneous kind of gathering, pulled all the people together, and we had a talk about race. We did some structured questions, like, when were you first othered because of what color you are or your racial ethnic heritage? We asked, when did you ever other somebody? We put people in small groups, and they got really vulnerable and really honest. And then we had the people of color come up front and make a little bit of a semicircle, well, to the sea of the white, nice people. A couple Muslim girls, a Latina girl, a couple of Asian women, a couple of Muslim women, and all of us listening, two black men. One of the black men said, please forgive me, because I'm going to indicate what he said, and I'm not going to swear, but he said, I'm worried that white folks don't give an F. Youngish black man from Atlanta. One of the Muslim women said, you know, we still feel really invisible. So it was very honest, very sincere. There were lots of tears. There were lots of crying. It was beautiful sharing in that unusual way that happens in the world, but happens at Middle almost all the time, because we set a multiracial table. Thank you, God. And thank you, Middle. At the very end of it, a person had her hand up a few times, and I saw it, and I was doing my group. I see you. You know, hang on kind of thing. And I almost didn't call on her, but I did, and she said, I just wanted to make a comment about my multiracial family, my biracial family. And she started telling us her family is biracial, there's a black father involved, that she's white, but she's got a black half-sister, and this kind of thing. And I honestly, when she started talking about her biracial family and kind of like her creds, you know, like her creds, The black people, the Latino people, the people of color, like our bodies started, you know, like we were like, it was a little funky. And then people started looking at each other and like, what the? And I felt like the mama responsible for the people up front and the thing, bad thing was happening. And so when she got through talking to a therapist, and I said, you're a therapist, and I think you can take this. I just want to tell you, when you are in a group of brown people who just told their stories, you don't have to talk. I said, you don't have to talk. And everybody's like, yeah, that's right. Because she didn't have to talk. It was not her turn to talk. It was her turn to listen and receive. Middle Church, we are so sophisticated about that. She wasn't that sophisticated. But she was well-meaning. She was well-intended. She was a good person. And I really hurt her feelings. I mean, I really hurt her feelings. And let me be clear, I was right. I was. And when I got through saying it, I said, and if you think I'm wrong, you're wrong, I'm right. There's a time to talk and there's a time to listen. But I really hurt her feelings. Did I mean to hurt her feelings? Did I want to hurt? I did not, but I did. So when I'm talking about waking up to what it means to be a lover, a revolutionary lover in these days, I'm asking my own self, how do I interrogate myself? I'm sophisticated and smart about race, but how do I interrogate my intentions? How do I stay in touch with my own stuff so that even as I'm trying to confront or carefront or challenge or fix or even fight injustice, that in my heart, the intention is absolutely mindfully, mind-blowingly love. Which is to say, every single one of us, and I know more about me than you, but every single one of us is a walking wounded. Every single one of us is broken around some axis. We got dissed on the playground, we had to hide our sexual identity or our orientation, our parents were stinky, mean, or our siblings broke our hearts, or, right? The first love relationship we had annihilated our trusting spirit, every single one of us. And I know some of your stories, and I'm not telling your particular stories right now, but your stories are in my heart, and I know you've been through it. And going through it can leave us wounded and wounding. Hurt people, hurt people. So I'm wondering, you know, I've asked you to be on a journey with me toward completing God's dream. And right now I'm wondering about our interior work. Like, I really plan to tell you, let's get busy! And we need to get busy. But I think we might need to get busy also here, just right here. So that the things that break us, that crack us wide open, leave us both vulnerable and ready to heal the world, but also get healed enough that we don't hurt other people. And that's the same kind of heartbreak. Our cracked wide open heart is what actually makes us empathic and sympathetic and sincere and get in it to fix it. But there can be a kind of crack in our heart that if we don't pay attention to it, we'll just fester and become pussy and yucky. And from that place, we'll hurt somebody else. So now my to-do on the bulletin that is not on the bulletin for you is to ask you about your spiritual practice. Yes, I said it, Christina. Where's Christina? Christina's my spiritual practice guru. What's your spiritual practice? You know, my spiritual practice is often exegeting for my sermons. I love writing my sermons because it makes me study. But I'm not still nearly enough, to let peace wash in me. I'm not still nearly enough to pay attention to what's going on in my body. And I want to be a revolutionary lover when I'm out in the streets. I want to be loving even my enemy, especially my enemy, when I'm trying to convert them. Now, caveat, I am not saying hang out with your enemies and have tea. I am not saying if somebody is hurting you, abusing you, taking advantage of you, wounding you, stick in there, hang in there till they beat you to a pulp. I am not saying stay in places that give you soul death or in relationships that erode your character. Oh, hell no. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we are our primary first relationship, and it is not narcissistic to pay attention to how your heart is and to wake up to who is in there and what's in there, to interrogate what's in there and know it so well, exegete it so well, know you and the stuff so well that you get to your therapist, get to your spiritual doctor, get to your friends, pray to your God, and clean up the plaque that is old wounds in our hearts, so we can love, 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 and heal the world at the same time. I don't exactly know why I'm teary about that, but I'm telling you, it's my work and it's your work to do that work. I love you.
Good afternoon, Middle. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Danita Branham. I'm an elder here. I've been the chair of the consistory in the past. I'm currently the chair of the governing board of Intersections and one of two of your Middle representatives on that governing board. So this afternoon, I have the responsibility of inviting you to join the movement. We know that you enjoy the music. We know that you enjoy the poems and the dance and all of the sermons that are offered by our ministry. But we want to invite you to share in revolutionary love that is action. And I'm going to pitch for Butterfly this morning. So Brooks, who happens to go out to Butterfly with his mom and dad, listen up. About 18 years ago, another member, David Ploth, and I decided to start Butterfly. David was a clinical analyst, and he was trying to help the addicted teens that were living in the park. And he was not having very much success getting them to come and be tested for AIDS at that time. So I asked if I could walk through the park with him and observe what he was doing. That observation led to me saying to him, it's really difficult for people to make life-changing decisions when their tummy is growling. And so came back to the church and asked if there was some way that we could feed the young people in the park. And that started the Butterfly Brunch Bag. It has a sandwich, it has juice, it has fruit. And so that's been 18 years now. So I want to invite you to join the movement and take a revolutionary love action. And when you take that action, I'm going to add a little extra. Also, make a commitment. Sign up for the movement. Sign up for Butterfly. And then when you've signed up, show up. Because the people who are also signed up on that time frame, they're counting on you to be there. Thank you. Blessings.
Quick reminder of those that want to join us for Money Talks. We are downstairs this month in the community room. If you're interested in joining the church, learning more about the church, Christina will be in the social hall in the Nook, where there's also some coffee and some snacks. If you please pray with me. Our loving Creator God, we thank you for waking us up. We thank you for waking up where we are asleep to empathy, where we are asleep to justice, where we are asleep to your revolutionary love. We thank you for the opportunity to give our gifts, our talents, our treasure, and our time in a community like Middle. Use these gifts to the building up of your kingdom, to your building up of justice here on earth. In your many, mighty, masterful, powerful, loving, and tender names, we pray. Amen.
And now, Middle, if you would join me in the call and response that's in your bulletin. Are you woke?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you woke, Middle? Okay, because I caught them by surprise this morning. They were not quite woke. So I'm just asking you before I go in on it. Are you woke, choir? Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me.
Jesus might have been mentored by a sage named Hillel the Elder, who lived in the time of Jesus. And people wondered what it meant to be woke. What does it mean to be woke? Hillel says, "That which you hate, do not do to your fellows. This is the whole law. The rest is commentary. Go and learn it. That which you hate, don't do to your brothers and sisters." And the very best way we're going to live that out is if we do our heart work. Yes. We wake up to what's inside ourselves. We have to keep marching to Freedom Land, and we got to march whole so we don't wound everybody along the way. I mean, ain't nobody to work on justice if we kill them all with our meanness. So I'm inviting you into a spiritual practice of self-examination, of heart work, so we can be revolutionary lovers on the way to freedom, so our love will be genuine. No bickering, no quarreling, no jealousy, no craziness, no cray-cray. Let's love. Let's love. Let's love. Amen.